stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined once again by Zach's very own Harry Kugayas. Did I say that right?
Close enough.
Okay. Well, my own last name gets all battered and beaten too. But he's back to discuss one of our favorite topics on the Zach's Market Edge, which is Greece. Now, Harry was among the very first guests on this podcast nearly 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks, 2 years ago. And we talked about Greece's debt crisis back then. That's when it was all in the news and it looked like Greece could basically go under. It wasn't going to get loans from the EU. It was going to get kicked out of the EU. All this stuff was going on. Then there were all the tax changes that they were making, the pension cuts, all of that. And then we discussed a lot of these topics again a year ago to see kind of where things stood and what was happening. And now here we are for the third time talking about Greece again, because Harry goes there every year and he just got back from several months over there, right? You were there
4 months. Yeah.
4 months. So he's kind of our eyes and ears on the ground over there. Now it's just his viewpoint, but having spent, you know, all that time in a place or a country, you do get a feel for what's going on. So we wanted to check in again just to ask, you know, is the worst over? It seems like Greece isn't in the news anymore. And it seems like the worst has passed from those of us on the outside looking in. But he's here to give us, you know, the play-by-play about what's really going on. And I wanted to just lead off, Harry, with like a couple of key things and key headlines I've seen recently. So in the good news category, in July of 2017, so July of this year, Greece held its first successful bond sale. It sold 3 billion euros. It was oversubscribed and they had to turn people away because it was a little dubious whether or not anyone would buy that Greek debt. But it was their first bond sale since 2014. So that is a positive thing when they're able to go to the market and get money. So that was good. And then on the tourism side, which we've discussed extensively every time we do this podcast, it's going to be another record year for tourism, it looks like. Last year, I saw the final numbers in were about 27.5 million visitors. This year, they're expecting 30 million. Some of the islands are doing so well with tourism, at least one, the main Santorini. Very popular, especially with Americans. It's been so overrun. I guess they had about 800,000 visitors in 2015. And then this year in 2017, that one island is expecting 2 million. So they have over 600 cruise ships a year docking there. And it got so bad that the mayor of the island, I guess he's a mayor, he has put restrictions on how many cruise ships could come in daily, because in some cases, 18,000 people were getting off those ships and just like making their way into those little villages, basically like swarms of, I don't know what, people wandering. And so they've limited it to 8,000. But we've seen this in several other cities like Barcelona and Venice. And I heard recently Dubrovnik wants to limit number of people because these little cities just can't handle it. So it sounds real good what's going on in Santorini. They had only 35 hotels in 2013, and now they have 141 hotels. So they're concerned about housing costs for people who are working there in the tourism industry and all of these kind of bountiful problems that they're having and just being overrun. But that's just one little island out of all of Greece. Obviously, tourism is doing well even in other parts of Greece. And some of that is because Turkey and Egypt are seeing a decline now with some of their problems going on there. And a lot of tour operators have moved over to Greece, which is considered to be more stable just for the tourists in general. And now I saw some numbers that it's about 24% of GDP now is the tourism industry, and it's creating 8 out of 10 jobs. So I'm reading all this and I'm like, oh, things aren't so bad. Like Greece, it's, you know, making a comeback. People are opening up little boutique hotels, restaurants in a lot of these areas outside of Santorini, other popular tourist destinations. But a lot of the business is summer focus, spring, summer, and part of fall. A lot of the Greek islands kind of close for business in the winter time. So it's very seasonal business for a lot of these people running and working in that industry. And then you just have the problem of not everyone wants to be in tourism. Like they're just, you know, that's not, it's not the thing for a lot of people, and especially younger people. They all don't want to open up a boutique hotel. So what's going on the flip side of all this good news, Harry?
Sure. Yeah. Tourism is up, obviously, you know, and you can see it everywhere. We went different places in Greece and we couldn't even find a hotel. I mean, we had to leave one city to go to another one to get a hotel. But on the flip side of that is that wages are very low. The hotel room rates are quite low in relation to what they were, you know, 10 years ago, so forth. And in general, the Greek population, I think, has accepted the fact that this problem is not going to go away readily.
The problem of
problem
the debt.
Of the debt and also the wages. And one of the, you know, the requirements from the EU was to basically cut back on public sector jobs, and this administration just refuses to do that. They'd rather cut pensions and increase taxes in order to do that. So the population is quite demoralized, but I think they have kind of accepted the fact that that's the way it is. And yesterday, actually, was it 2 days ago, we heard there was another 20% cut in pensions that is going to come due in January of 2018.
Yeah, I heard that there, I saw one statement that said that the pensions have been cut 12 times in just the last few years. And now 43% of the pensioners in Greece live on just 660 euros per month. And a lot of those pensioners had been supporting like an extended family, like children and grandchildren. And that's becoming very difficult to do on only just 660 euros.
It is, particularly if you have any kind of property in the coastal areas, because those are very high tax rates. So 600 doesn't go very far. Food costs have increased over the summer that I've noticed. Gasoline has come down, I would say, about 20%. But still, the roads are empty because people just really cannot afford to go, let's say, from Athens to where we are in Corinth because of the tolls. Tolls have increased, added more toll stations around the country. So it's, I mean, the roads are very nice. It's about time Greece has kind of come into the 21st century with the roads. But is it a cost?
What about privatization of a lot of these kind of government-controlled businesses? Like, I saw an article that said that the airports were actually sold to a German private company. I think they're called, let me see here, Fraport or something. Hold on a minute. Let me find it. Oh, yeah. Fraport, they took over 14 regional airports. That was kind of forced on them by the EU, I've heard, because the infrastructure was not good and the government is broke. It doesn't have the money to go in and repair it. And so they signed a 40-year lease deal, and it cost them $1.2 billion. That's what the government got for the deal. But they're going to be investing 400 million euros into those airports to upgrade. And then that is a lot of jobs and other things happening through the airports, too. But that was pretty controversial from what I read, that that was going to a private firm.
Oh, it is. And there's a lot of pushback from the unions, particularly from government workers, because all the major infrastructure in Greece was not privatized. It was nationalized long, long time ago. So the government workers are resisting every which way. There's a requirement from the EU that they have yearly reviews, and they're even resisting that. So, So it seems that on that front, this government doesn't want to change that. But it is changing. I mean, they want to privatize more. The electric grid now is become privatized. Even the lignite coal was bought by a German company, and they say that coal is very bad, but they bought it and actually exporting a lot of it to Germany. So apparently they have the technology to clean it up over there. But they also sold all of the passenger and the freight lines that use the tracks in Greece. The core infrastructure is still owned by the Greek government for the rail. And they forgave close to 700 million euro debt. and the company bought it for $45 million, they're going to sink another $500 million into it. But you can see that there is a sale going on, so to speak. In a sense, I guess that's good because they will bring their know-how and their practices that are certainly better than the government employees, particularly in Greece, their sort of attitude and their work ethic. So,
what about the young people? Because we talked about them on the last podcast and about the opportunities that they have and why we didn't think Greece would leave the EU, because the young people want the opportunity and have grown up with the opportunity of having the option of leaving, basically. Is that still going on? Because I've saw some stats that said the unemployment rate for those, say, 18 to 24 is nearly 50% still in Greece. So you don't really blame anybody, especially those who have, like, you know, further education or, you know, college degrees, for saying, like, hey, nothing is happening here. I'm going to go to Berlin or Paris or Amsterdam where, you know, things are, there's growth.
It's the sadder aspect of what's going on over there. You know, when overall in the past, since the crisis really hit, nearly 500,000, you know, educated Greeks have left the country. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have a population of 10 million, you know, 5% is significant. And those are the best and brightest. As my cousin jokingly says, you know, the only people that will be left here are the people that are uneducated and the people that can't leave the country.
Right.
Which is a sad statement for the country. But it's more salient now. I mean, it's reached the point where the young people are really demoralized about getting, you know, any kind of position. And what strikes me is that some of them still hold onto the expectation that they will work for a government facility. You know, I mean, not that they can, obviously, but because it was so ingrained in the culture, they still look for that. In fact, there's a professional couple who live down the street from us, both doctors, and their kids are highly educated. And they just dread, the guy was, you know, just very, very upset that both kids have to leave. You know, he says, we raise them, we give them the best education, now they're going to leave us.
Where are they going to go?
Well, one of them wants to go to England.
Okay.
He wants to get a post-medical degree, and he wants to go over there to set that up. And I think his daughter is already in Germany. So it's a sad statement to, you know, it's not only terrible for the country, it's terrible for the parents that, you know, have to see their children sort of, you know, leave in order to find useful work.
Could there be a prospect of, in the future, those parents, that generation, also moving to where the kids are then? Also leaving or no?
I don't know. I guess it depends on financial
and
depends on the family situation. I mean, if they are in Europe, it's very, you know, in 2-hour time, you
right.
can be in Greece. So it's not like we're here and it takes, you know, a day and a half to get there.
Right.
So and that aspect of it, a lot of them do come back. And a lot of them drive, actually. I mean, that aspect of it, I don't think is going to entice them to move away. But nonetheless, you know, who's going to be left there to run the country if all of the intelligentsia leaves?
Yeah.
You know, it's a big problem.
Is there any opposite brain drain, I guess you could say, coming in? Because you would think some people, say you have been vacationing in Greece for, you know, 15 years of your life and you're a young person and maybe you see some opportunities there in what's happening to go in and even maybe on the tourism side, open up your hotel or something like that because you always just loved going to Greece. Is there any of that where they're seeing?
Well, a lot of the Europeans and other countries come to Greece, particularly from the Middle East, they come to buy land.
Okay.
And of course, the Greek culture is pretty close-knit. So when they come in and buy major swaths of land, I mean, there's a lot of resentment, obviously. And unfortunately, a lot of them, you know, kind of build up gated communities, particularly along the coast. So there's resentment there. I don't know if they cater to the Greek population. I mean, they're going to cater to foreigners. So the money is not necessarily going to come into the economy. Obviously, to run the business, you need local resources. But nonetheless, it's not really seen as something as beneficial to the Greek economy in the sense of, you know, sort of keeping the money in Greece, because they have assets elsewhere. Yeah. They're going to transfer it elsewhere. It's part of Europe, right? So
right. So there's no restrictions on foreigners owning property?
Well, there I don't know the details. Yeah. There are some restrictions, okay. But I don't think it's significant. And there are a lot of foreigners coming to buy, particularly Turks.
Okay.
And Syrians and from the Middle East, because they want to avoid obviously the
what's going on there.
Yeah. Situation in those places.
What about the tax avoidance issue? We've talked about that on past too. It's always a touchy subject, but there was a couple of years ago, the Greek government wasn't getting any money really coming in for the tax system because people just didn't pay it and avoided it in various ways. And then they were going to clamp down on that. Has that been successful or is it still the tax avoidance going on?
Tax avoidance is alive and well.
Is it still all cash? Because we talked about that before, that a lot of Greece was like an all-cash economy.
It was, and it's changing now because of the imposition of having receipts. But what a lot of them do and say, well, I'm not going to give you a receipt, give me cash. And it's seen as one merchant told me, it's the only way we can survive. He goes, there's no other way for us to survive other than, you know, going basically in the underground economy.
Do they still have restrictions on the cash you can get out of the ATMs? Is that still going on?
They increased it to 1,800 euros a month with total unrestricted access. You can take out 1,800 in the first of the month or spread it out the month. You know, it went up from, I think it was
really low.
800 or yeah. 600, something like that for the month. So in that sense, it's a little bit better. But still, not a lot of people have 1,800 a month to take out. So.
No. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
So they basically have normalized, it sounds like, the cash thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, because that's probably because there's no more runs on the ATMs like there used to be a couple of years ago.
You don't have to wait 2 hours at the ATM to draw money.
Yeah. Okay, so that covers a lot of the topics we've mentioned in the past. So it sounds like you're still kind of pessimistic. I mean, I know you were over there for 4 months, so that's a long time.
Yeah, as an expat, you know, I like the fact that there's a lot less local tourism and the roads are quite empty and so forth. But, you know, people are hurting. I mean, they're silently. It's not as vocal as it used to be before, but you can tell they're getting quite demoralized, particularly the parents and grandparents.
Because
they really worry about, you know, the future of their children.
Well, the unemployment rate for Greece nationwide is still 23%. I think that is the highest in the euro.
Yeah, it is.
Eurozone. So
it has one of the highest tax rates in the euro too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ironic, right?
Right. Okay. Well, as always, I want to discuss a few ways you could invest in Greece and in the turnaround, because it sounds a little better than when we first started discussing it 2 years ago. And a couple of those ways, of course, we've mentioned in the past, is the Greece ETF. There's always an ETF for every country, and Greece does have one. The ticker is GREK, and it is up off those lows. So people did get much more optimistic in the investing world for Greece this year, and it's up 22% year to date. So it's not so bad. I guess we all should have been buying that.
Yes.
And we talked about it on the podcast last year. But that's, you know, you're going to own a lot of the big banks if you buy GREK, because I looked at the holdings, and a lot is the banks and shippers, because that's the other big industry other than tourism is in shipping. But other ways you can play Greece, I feel, is on the tourism side, because that area, I mean, they are seeing record numbers. And one way you can get in there is through some of the airlines like Ryanair Holdings, that's out of Ireland, I believe. But they fly to a whole bunch of the islands. So you can check out that ticker through RYAAY. That's Ryanair. It's their low-cost airlines over in Europe. And then a couple, you know, there's all these complaints about the cruise ships, but cruising Greece is still really, really popular. And the cruise lines in general are doing well right now. So you might want to check out Royal Caribbean. That ticker is RCL. And then there's also Norwegian Cruises, NCLH. And then I took a little bit of a look at a few of the online travel companies. I don't know if any of these, do they use these over there? Do they have HomeAway? And they must. So I looked at that one. That's owned by Expedia now, HomeAway. That ticker is EXPE. Some of these are a little pricey for the online travel companies. So they're trading at 28 times, but they are off their highs. And then there's Priceline. They own Booking.com, which I guess has a lot of listings over in Greece. And their ticker is PCLN, also off its highs. That's trading at 24 times. And then there's TripAdvisor, which has Flipkey, plus its online kind of forums. And you can also book hotels online. TripAdvisor is Trip, T-R-I-P. They've had a little more problems than these other two because a lot of the revenue comes from advertising off their website and they're trying to monetize other things. So they're trading at, I think, around 38 times. And in full disclosure, because I do like the travel stocks, I own Priceline and TripAdvisor right now in my own portfolio. But what do you think about some of the tourism? Do you think that's the way to go, Harry, over there?
I think so. A lot of people over there have turned, you know, even rooms as it used to be back in the 60s, you know, into, you know, guest houses.
So do they do Airbnb then a lot?
Airbnb and some of the other, I think there are other European companies. I didn't use them, obviously, but it's quite, it has changed. I mean, the hotels are not as popular as they used to be. A lot of them are done through these. Through these other companies. As a matter of fact, when we were in one of the islands, we couldn't find a hotel, and one hotel looked up in their local sort of directory and kind of directed us to a hotel that did have a room. So, and there are a lot of homes, obviously, that open up. My daughter rented a house down in Crete. So there are entrepreneurial, I guess, activities over there from the population just to make some money.
Right, extra money. Yeah. Like that's the kind of economy that I would think would be thriving over there. What about Uber? Do they have Uber there?
I don't know if they do. I don't recall ever hearing about it.
I don't know. Maybe in some of the bigger cities, possibly. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't look.
The taxi unions in the cities are
pretty
very
strong. Oh, okay.
And they are not messed with. I mean, they're...
Okay.
Pretty,
that's what they say in a lot of cities, though. When I was in Mexico City, they said the same thing, and there I was ordering my Uber in Mexico City.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. Okay. So, surprisingly.
I'm sure it'll come there.
Yeah. Because that's another way that you could, if you have a car, you know, get a little bit of money on the side.
Yeah. And part of the crisis benefit, I think, is that there's a lot more professionalism everywhere. And you see it every year I go. I mean, I'm really heartened by the fact that they are a lot more professional, they pay a lot more attention to the customer needs and attentive.
Okay. That's always good. Has any of the online payment companies made any inroads since we were just talking about how everything's done in cash? Are people paying with their cell phones now that you've seen? Is there any kind of PayPal or Alipay or any of that going on?
No, I have not seen of that, but I'll tell you, all the government facilities have all basically pretty much mandated that they need to go to an online payment system. I'm assuming that the government will have their own. I don't think they'll use, you know, a private company, but I think that's the way it's going to go because they get their money a lot faster. And I mean, the government would like that because they can track things, but knowing the way Greeks work, I don't know if that would be taken up as quickly as in other countries.
Okay. So we'll have to see, you know, next year when we do this podcast again, we'll have to check in on the Uber situation and see just how that kind of shadow economy is growing over there. And I'm sure we'll be talking about tourism again.
Oh, absolutely.
Because once again, I'm still considering going there. Every time I have you on, I'm like, I want to go there. So, I actually bought guidebooks after the last show. And yes, I still read the guidebooks. I know I'm old. But you get a lot of ideas from it that you don't just searching online and that kind of thing. So I did buy some, so I'm still thinking of my Greek trip.
Beautiful places there.
I know, I know. So again, if you're interested in investing, we do kind of recommend going the tourism route. And there's also the Greek ETF, if you want the banks and some of the shippers. So that ticker was GREK. You can do the airlines. Ryanair Holdings is one of them that has a lot of flights into the Greek area and the Greek islands there. RYAAY is that ticker. Some of the cruise liners, Royal Caribbean, RCL, Norwegian Cruises, NCLH. Then some of the online that you can rent some homes and that have exposure to Greece, Expedia, EXPE, Priceline, PCLN, and TripAdvisor, which is Trip, T-R-I-P. And as always, you can check out our other Greek podcasts because this is our third one now. And you might want to listen to some of those because it's interesting to see how it kind of develops. Although I do remember that Harry was pessimistic last year as well, and he's pessimistic again this year. But I feel like it's maybe turning around a little bit from an outsider's point of view. So you might want to check that out. There was one from around this time last year. I'll try to link to it here so that you can just click on that link and listen to the old ones. And of course, you can also check out all of our Zach's Market Edge podcasts on Apple Podcasts and on SoundCloud. And be sure to subscribe so that you can get all of our updates on all these interesting things going on, both in the markets and just internationally, because apparently we've been covering a lot of international topics. I did India recently and we did China because people are going to all these places and reporting back about what's going on. So be sure to tune in every week on both of those platforms, and I'll see you again next time.